the best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Jeremy Sampson, WILX, does the sports split every Friday night. Will be with us at 8:50 talking a little high school basketball. Also have Greg Jones, former Michigan State middle linebacker down in Alabama for the Senior Bowl, will be with us. And Frank Zombo, former Central Michigan defensive end, now playing at the Green Bay Packers. He'll be at the Super Bowl next week. And then finally, what we've been talking about basically since the beginning of the show, Joe Rexroad will be with us from Lansing State Journal at 10:30 to talk more about this Michigan-Michigan State debacle and just Michigan State as a debacle in general. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. Become a fan on Facebook with us, 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff, and then also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. Honestly, go on Facebook. We got some solid audio on there from when Scott was at the game in the locker room afterwards. Some really depressing stuff from Draymond Green in that interview. Some really depressing stuff from Kalen Lucas and Tom Izzo. And it really is just a reality Saturday, Scott. I mean, we're not trying to rip Michigan State apart per se. We are ripping them apart. But we're just trying to give Spartan Slappies the truth. And the truth is, this team isn't very good, and I'm not sure that they're going to get any better.
Well, we talked about it last week, and we said this three-game stretch, Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, this would be the stretch to kind of turn things around. Because you look at the schedule, and like you said, there's five games now that look like losses. They had to win probably three of these at Ohio State, at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, home Purdue, home Illinois. Without losing to Michigan, they still had to win three of those. Most likely to have your best chance to actually look decent going in. Now, losing to Michigan, they can't afford to lose any other games outside of those five. And they have to win three. And I'd even venture to say they really need to win at Ohio State to really make any noise, because look at Illinois. Mm-hmm. They're not that great. They just got bumped by Indiana.
Yeah, you know, to squeeze into the tournament, I thought all they had to do was win the games they should win. Beat all those ranked opponents on your schedule. You could lose those five games. Your strength of schedule plus wins over Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Washington would probably get you into the tournament. Now that you've lost to Michigan, you have two of your big wins, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Washington, nullified by losses to Michigan and Penn State. So now you're talking about one big win, okay? And your last big win, let's say they lose all five of those tough games you were talking about, your last big win was on January 11th. The selection committee doesn't remember much about you back on January 11th.
Not just that. I mean, when I fill out a bracket, that's one of the biggest things I look at. So what team is hot coming? That's why I picked Butler last year.
Yep.
Because they had won, I think, 19 straight coming in. I don't care what conference you're in, but when you come in, you have to look impressive, and they look awful. And the same thing happens with the BCS as what happens with this. It's when you win or when you lose. And like we said last week, if they would have beat Duke, it's even if they would have won that back then, that doesn't matter for what kind of a turn this season is taking.
I'll give you a great example. Michigan, the year that they beat Clemson in the tournament, they almost didn't get in. They beat UConn and Duke at the very beginning of the season, but they sputtered so much down the stretch that they almost didn't get into the tournament. And, you know, so this Michigan State team, and you brought up a good point during the break from an article that you read, that it's just they just don't look confident. What is that quote? Because it was such a good quote, and I don't want to misquote it. So give me the terms of that quote.
Yeah, this is from Jerry Palm of collegerpi.com, has told the Sporting News today. Quote, with Lucius now gone, they need to reprove themselves to the committee as a tournament-quality team without him. They're below 500 against the RPI top 200, normally fatal to selection. But all of those games are also against top 100 teams.
At some point, strength of schedule doesn't mean as much if you don't beat any of the tough teams on your schedule. Okay? I'm sure there's some MAC teams or some teams in the Mountain West or something that have pretty difficult out-of-conference schedules. They didn't win any of those games, so that doesn't matter. Okay? Michigan State has not won really any big games. Washington will win the Pac-10 because the Pac-10 is awful. Okay? Minnesota was not that good when they beat. Now, Minnesota is honestly looking like their biggest win so far this year. Really, when you look how Minnesota has played lately compared to Wisconsin, I would rank Minnesota as a better win than Wisconsin at this point. So when you look at those things, their quality wins are not as quality as most teams. And then you throw in the blowout losses and the awful losses that tournament committees will think about when selection time comes. This is a team, they have to win two of those games. They have to beat Wisconsin, Ohio State, Illinois, Minnesota, or Purdue. Have to beat probably two of those teams. Now, if they beat one and run the table outside, they might put themselves back in depending on when they win that game. If you win at Ohio State, you're in. Okay? You win one of the late games. What is it? Is Purdue the last really big game that they have of the season? I believe Purdue is the last big game they have of the season. You win that game, you leave a fresh taste in the mouths of the tournament committee. Okay? But if not, you probably have to win two of those games. And it comes back to what was brought up in that article, depth. It comes back to depth. It comes back to playing guys that can actually compete at that level. And with this whole Corey Lucius thing, their depth has taken a huge hit, Scott.
Well, the thing that frustrates me in the post-game press conference, Tom Izzo was talking about how now they don't have depth at guard. They have a lot of depth at the big men. Well, but, and then he goes on to say, but teams are playing small. Like Michigan was playing small. Yeah, when Zach Novak is playing the four or the five. Okay, why does Michigan State have to adjust to other teams and go small with them? Why not go big and make a team adjust to you?
If you have an advantage over a team on offense, usually that means you have a disadvantage on defense. That's usually how it goes. And you make a very valid point. Okay. Michigan State just has not taken advantage of matchups this year, and that's partly because of what I talked about in the first segment. These players don't have an identity. They don't know what their role is.
Well, let's think about this. If Michigan State goes big, what's the biggest drawback? They're not going to get out and run. They're not going to be a transition team. Okay, final score 61-57. There's no running involved
well,
in that
type of game.
Well, and
they turn the ball over on transition plays right. So often anyway, I almost would rather see them as a half-court team now and
right.
Execute.
Slow it down. Pound it inside.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And honestly, it comes down to, now, I will say this, okay? I will give them one positive. I thought Kalen Lucas, for the first time in over a year, looked fantastic. And I thought Kalen Lucas, for the first time since his sophomore year, when he used to just take the team. What I loved about Kalen Lucas as a freshman and a sophomore is he would sit there and he'd let other guys play. And he'd be like, okay, I'm going to dish it around. I'm going to let other people play. But if it got to a point where Michigan State just didn't have it, he would just be like, give me the ball. Just give me the ball. Get out of the way. I will take over. And for the first time ever this season, Kalen Lucas took that initiative and decided that he was going to take advantage of it.
I think it was the Purdue game where you could look, and it looked like he got his burst back. He was getting to the hole better than he has. He wasn't finishing in that game. And he still missed a few bunnies. I mean, Tom Izzo, if I cut it up, it'd be a little bit of work, but he mentioned layups over and over and over again in that press conference as to one of the main reasons. Getting the ball in the paint, getting it inside, missing bunnies.
Yep.
So he does look better. He appears to be getting closer and closer to where he was, being able to get into the lane, get to the hole.
And I don't care about the speed issue. If he never gets his speed back, whatever. I want that attitude. I want that thought of, if my team is struggling, I'm going to take over the game. And he hasn't had that in over a year, and it was great to see it. But, you know, an interesting point here, while we're talking about Kalen Lucas and the point guards, and the situation with Corey Lucius getting suspended / dismissed, whatever the case may be. Michigan State, when they are successful in a season, always has good backup point guards. Okay, you can look back over all the Tom Izzo teams. Years where they go to the Final Four, years where they go make deep runs in the tournament, they have good backup point guards. When they went to the Final Four last year, you had Lucas and Lucius coming off the bench. Okay, year before that, when they went to the final, you had Lucas, Lucius, and then even Travis Walton at certain times playing point guard. You had depth. Now, what about teams that didn't do well? Okay, look back down to 2003-2004. They lost in the first round of the tournament. You had Chris Hill transitioning to play point guard. You had a junior college transfer in Rasheed Johnson, who was not a very good point guard. And then you had a McDonald's All-American Brandon Cotton transfer halfway through the season. You had turmoil at point guard, and you ended up being an awful team. Okay? That's what happens when you don't have a very good team, when you don't have very good depth at point guard. And you can look to it all the way across the board in the 2000s, 2006, 2007, all they had was Drew Neitzel, lost in the second round. 2005, all they had was Drew Neitzel, lost in the second round. You need depth at point guard in this Tom Izzo offense, because what he likes to do, and he's done it since Mateen Cleaves, he loves to pull his point guard off the floor, point out stuff to his point guard, and then bring him back in the game. Now, another issue with this depth, Scott, is the fact that, look, Kalen Lucas is not all the way back. And now you're asking him to play 37 to 40 minutes a game. It's just not fair.
Not just that, but the way he was playing, having to cover Darius Morris up the court, yeah, it's supposed to tire out Morris. It's going to tire out Kalen Lucas, yeah, too. And like you said, he, as close as he is to being back, I'm sure his conditioning isn't there. And he had to sit the second half of a game earlier this year because he was too tired. Now, you've got him playing 37 minutes. And the biggest question that I've been asked since Corey Lucius has been dismissed from the team for the rest of the season, what's going to happen? Well, in my mind...
Did you watch the Michigan game? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, for playing time and for that purpose, I think Keith Appling needs to switch over to be that backup point guard. It's not going to be the best. He's not going to be that great. But he is the best scorer. He's the best player at actually getting to the hoop and finishing that I've seen.
But that's, and I can see where you're coming from there.
And I know it's a totally different style.
No. I'm not talking about style at all. I just think it's very unfair to Keith Appling to move his positions, especially when he's starting to come into his own at shooting guard. He's starting to come into his own as that defensive player for Michigan State. I like what I've seen out of Keith Appling in the last month. I think he's turned a corner. I think he's going to be a stud for Michigan State. And I'm not sure, although they need the depth at point guard, I understand your point. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to bring a new point into it, which is, do you really want to mess with a freshman that is starting to come into his own and just switch his position on him?
Oh, I agree completely. I'm just saying, for the benefit, for the best thing for Michigan State as a team, that is what would need to happen. Because you said it, I don't want to see Keebler on the court for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, Austin Thornton on for 10 minutes. They were on together at the same time. You combine that with putting Delvon Rowe out there, that's three offensive liabilities. You've got two guys you can go to.
Okay, when you have a point guard that can't play defense and thinks that he should be scoring, take it. I'm telling you, the two plays that drove me the most nuts in that entire game. Number one, Draymond Green got into foul trouble because of this. 15 seconds left on the shot clock. Keebler drives to the hole, misses the layup, and then Draymond gets an over-the-back call when he probably should have dished it off to Draymond. Okay, you're Mike Keebler. Do not shoot the basketball unless there are 2 seconds left on the shot clock. Number two, Austin Thornton. Good Lord, Austin Thornton. When you forget to dribble, you shouldn't be on the floor anymore. There was a play in that game, and I know you saw because you texted me during the game, Scott, exactly after it happened. I'm pretty sure you knew that I saw it because I try not to be mean to him, but it's just, I'm sorry, it just comes out of me. Some players stand out. He takes the ball, pump fakes, good pump fake, great pump fake, got the defender in the air, walks with the ball to get a better shot. You have to dribble, dude.
Well, and then the next one, he was actually, okay, Austin Thornton is a pretty good shooter. Since his freshman year, he was a good shooter. Watching him in practice, he's got a nice stroke. If he's open, I'm fine with him taking
a
shot.
I'm a good shooter on a Fisher-Price hoop when nobody's looking at me.
Well, he is, just, I know you're very, very skeptical, but he does have a nice shot when he's open. There was one time, he's open, getting set, stepping into his shot for three, ball comes to him, it's passed, swung around perfectly, he drops it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I just go, what? He's scared of the ball.
The depth is a major issue. And so until Michigan State decides that they need to cut down the players that are playing so they can compete with people, they're going to continue to lose these games. And frankly, until they show me that they can beat a top 25 team, I'm convinced that they're not going to make the tournament.